Chapter 19, Jesus Freak. I've had a very interesting relationship with the guys from DC Talk over the years. When I first became a Christian, it was also when I first heard of Christian hip hop, simultaneously when I first heard about the group. I remember looking at the two white guys and the black guy and thinking, things are so different in the church world. I'll bet you one of the white guys is the rapper and the black guy is the singer. Sure enough, it's exactly what the situation was. I don't mention this to take anything away from their music. On many levels, they pioneered so much in this genre. But those first couple DC Talk albums, they were just too pop for my taste. Remember, I came up on militant black hip-hop. It wasn't until Free At Last came around that I really started listening to DC Talk. In my opinion, it's one of the most well-produced albums, and I don't mean that simply in terms of Christian music. Production value alone is phenomenal for any genre, period. That album really won me over. Flash forward to the 90s. Jesus Freak comes out, and I hear the title track. Immediately, I knew the song was going to be massive. It was the perfect blend of what grunge was and rap was and rock was, yet so unabashedly Christian at the same time. And I thought, man, someday I'm going to write a song that perfect. Now, at the time, I didn't know any of the guys in DC Talk. I didn't even spend much time with Toby, even though I almost signed to Goatee Records, his record label. I eventually ended up on Essential Records. The label actually told me when my album was finished that they wanted me to go back into the studio and re-record a cover of a DC Talk song. The thing was, at the time, they couldn't identify a clear-cut single for my album, so this would be a way to ensure that they had a song that would get play on video shows and radio. And I thought to myself, like, how in the world am I going to do this? This makes no sense. But the label was persistent. So I went back to the Free At Last album and I re-recorded a song titled The Hard Way. To be honest, I absolutely loved the track. And it was actually Toby Mac himself who fought for that song to be on my album. He stood against his own record label to allow my label to release it. I've always had tremendous respect for him as a visionary, as a pioneer, and as someone from the culture. But I never really had a deep connection with him. It was always love, and he always took the time to share advice with me. But I never really knew him in a personal way. Now, sometime later, I'm on Winter Jam with Michael Tate in 2002. I shared a tour bus with him, and I discovered that he was absolutely crazy, but in a good way. I mean, he cracked me up constantly. He scolded me an entire day one time for eating his ice cream sandwiches, which was an accident on my part, then he wound up giving me a whole box for chastising me. He was one of the funniest, nicest, most sporadic guys I had ever met. Out of that friendship, every night I would perform Jesus Freak, and I would rap the Toby part with Tate. He had just gone solo at the time. The jump ahead about 8 or 9 years. I receive a random phone call asking if I could be on the plane the following day. They said, don't tell anyone, but we need somebody to redo Toby's part on Jesus Freak with Tate, who's now with the Newsboys. You can't tell anyone. You're going to be on a plane in the morning, you're going to get off, you're going to record it, then you're going to get back onto the plane, and you can't tell a single person. It was nuts. I was going to be a part of the biggest song in Christian music history, and I couldn't tell anybody. Even more bizarre, the guy that was in DC Talk is now in a completely different band, and I was going to cover Toby's part. And I thought, this has to be the weirdest, best, and craziest idea all at the same time. And of course, I said yes. By the time I hit the plane to go home, people were already texting me to congratulate me. Todd Collins had posted up a picture that had leaked the information, and that was it. It was over. The weirdest thing about the whole thing was the fact that this was right before I was about to go out and do Winter Jam. On that tour, I was going to be on stage every night with the Newsboys performing Toby's part. At that time, Winter Jam had become the biggest tour in the country. The whole experience started to make me realize how little people actually pay attention. I would come out and do Toby's part, and then I'd start to watch the Facebook comments. They would say things like, did you see when Toby came dressed up like KJ to come out on the Newsboys song to do his own part? The song was so big that people would mistake me for being someone else, and they wouldn't even notice. People actually thought I was Toby at one point. Guys were coming up to me and some of these tour dates and they would say, man, I've been listening to you since you were in DC Talk. And I would be literally standing underneath my own banner, which had my name on it. And I explained to them that I was still in high school when DC Talk came out. There's no way I could be Toby. Still, nobody would listen. That's how big that song was. People didn't even know who actually sang it. All of it put me in an odd place where I was reaping the benefits of performing this huge song. Doors were opening up. I was playing big festivals. I was on Winter Jam really just to do those parts in arenas all across the country in different cities. The most hilarious moment of this all was when I was booked to be the host at a festival. Toby and Tate were both on the festival. So everyone in the crowd didn't even know I was there. They were thinking Toby was going to come out with the Newsboys to do his part with Tate. Instead, Tate comes up to me and says, "You're doing the part. Toby wasn't doing it." And I was thinking, this has to be the most bizarre moment of my life. I'm about to do Toby's part in front of Toby with Tate, who's now with the Newsboys, and nobody in the crowd knows that I'm even there. So they're all expecting Toby to come out. Right before I'm about to go on, I went over to Toby and I said, "Look, this is really weird doing this in front of you." He said to me, "No, I wouldn't rather have anyone else do it but you." Then Gabe, who was one of his guys on stage, said, "Yeah, but don't suck." The song played, I ran out, crowd went nuts, and then they literally stopped jumping because they realized it was me and not Toby. They didn't even know how to react. Then they kind of started to realize it was me and they got back into it. It was awkward and awesome, all simultaneously. Now flash forward about another year and I'm at Camp Electric. This is Toby's music camp. I'm hosting, Toby has his own part of the evening that night. It was the end of one of the nights and I'm exhausted. I'm laying in the back of the room, slowly starting to nod off, and I'm really just waiting for the night to get over so I can dismiss the kids, and all of a sudden I hear, "KJ, get out here!" And it's coming from the stage. Toby was asking me to come out and do Jesus Freak on his own set. I'm thinking, this makes no sense whatsoever. In the moment, I actually kind of thought he wanted me to come out and just play hype man, which I would have been totally fine with. The song starts playing, it arrives at his part, and he just stopped and he stepped to the side for me to come in. I'm thinking, this is going to break the time-space continuum. Here I am performing Toby's part with Toby, even though I've done it with the Newsboys with Toby's former partner, which all goes back to DC Talk, which took me back to high school when the whole record came out. I mean, it just doesn't get any weirder. But I was wrong. It got weirder. As I'm performing, I realize I'm blanking out on the second verse. Every time I went out with Tate, I only performed the first verse. So the second verse is about to start, and I'm about to space out right in front of all these kids. Just at the last second, I remembered the lyrics, and everything was fine. However, sometimes the band would do this part where they would freeze on stage. So it comes to that part, and I'm the only one that freezes. I stood there like a mannequin. I thought, I've literally seen it all. I walked up the stage, shook my head. I thought, yeah, I've literally done everything I could possibly do on my bucket list. That just happened, and it was amazing.